this is what happened. After Jesus gave his life on the cross, he descended into hell. He took the keys from the devil. He ascended to heaven. And then he showed back up to his disciples because he knew that they would need it. And Acts tells us that Jesus began to do and teach. And that's what's happening today. We're doing it. And then I'm going to try to teach it. Because unless we are codependent on the Spirit, interdependent on the Spirit, we won't experience the things that God has promised to us. But I believe he's chosen us. I believe that Liberty Life Center has been called, anointed, appointed, and chosen for such a time as this. And this is a new day. This is a day where the Spirit is hovering over the body of Christ, and actually over even the unbelievers, to see who will respond well to him. Because those that will be hungry and will listen to what the Spirit has to say are going to do greater and mightier things than we could ever even imagine or think. And they will say of us, those that followed Jesus are among us that turned the world upside down. And so Jesus began to do, and then he taught it. And he went to the disciples, and he was getting them ready because he knew it was go time for them. It was go time for them. I just want to announce to you, it is go time. We can't sit in our chairs and enjoy thank God he shows up, but it's not just for that. It's because there are people that are, I got a phone call last night from my brother. My first cousin died. And, you know, whenever I was little, we came to Florida to be with my uncle and his family every year because, you know, he lived here. And they were the guys that I hung with, my nephews. And it was unexpected. We didn't know anything was going on. He was in a foreign country. They didn't really have what they needed for him. And so he probably died because of lack of actual care that he needed. But no one knows the day or the hour. People are dying right now. You know this, right? People are having car accidents. People are having heart attacks. But the point is not that they're dying. The point is that they are facing eternity somewhere. They don't just be put in the ground and disappear. They have a spirit that's going to live forever. And it's going to either live tormented for eternity, or it's going to live in the very presence of God. That is us. We just have body suits. This is our body suit. Our emotions, our soul, or our mind, our will, our emotions. But our spirit is the part that will live forever. And so now Jesus is looking at his disciples, and he's looking at his disciples today as well. And he knows that it's go time for them, and he knows what is riding on this. He knows that he has put everything that he could into these disciples. He has taught them. He has prayed for them. He kept going to the Father to hear what he was supposed to do so he could impart it to them. Where were they supposed to go so he would lead them in the right direction? When was the time that he was supposed to give them what? He was interdependent on the Father's will so that he could bring forth his will on earth to his disciples so that at this time, he was going to release them to do the Father's will on the earth, and they had to be in conjunction with the Trinity so tight that they weren't going to let it fall away. We are here today because he knew what they needed. They needed the power of the Holy Ghost. And they had a decision to make. The power of the Holy Ghost was being made available to him. That's what Jesus told them. He said, you don't even understand. You've got to understand what has already occurred. I've already shown you things. I've already presented you things. I've already given you convincing proofs. I've already told you all about the kingdom of God. I presented it to you. But the most important ingredient that you're going to need is the power and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. The third person of the Trinity that I promise you is going to show up. But you're going to need. And so he commanded them. He commanded them. He didn't suggest to them. He didn't say, now listen, I understand that there's all different kinds of doctrines around. And, you know, you could, you know, if you don't believe this, well, you don't really have to have it. You know, you could just be okay without it. He never said that. But we know there were all different kinds of doctrines even in that day. That's why there was so much division. That was so much split. There were Pharisees, there were Sadducees, and there was everybody in between and called out by the apostles later. And all their differences of doctrine. But he didn't give them a choice. He commanded them. He commanded them. Don't leave Jerusalem until you wait for what the Father has promised to you and that you have heard from me. He commanded them. He commanded them. John baptized you with water. That was the baptism of repentance. Okay, fine. I gave my life for you. Now you have received me as Lord and Savior because you can, because I died and took your sins in your place. But now that's not enough. That is not enough. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a little while, in a few days from now. At least he told him in a few days from now. And so he knew that they would have to walk in this transforming power on a continual basis. And this was going to be greater than anything that they had demonstrated in the kingdom before. Because before, the Spirit came upon them to do the mighty works. But now he was going to come and live inside of them and be able to make them be able to operate through the Holy Ghost as though they get to be a part of it, but he's doing all the work because he's on the inside of them waiting to get out. And Jesus knew that there was no way that we could live a holy life without the Holy Spirit indwelling us and being the bold outward manifestation of the Father's heart, showing his will on every side, everywhere we go, every thought that we think should be washed through the Holy Ghost. And so now they're going to have to be able to function in the depths of the plan for them. And so the time of the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit has come. And so when they came together, this is what they said. But what about what's going on? Like, what about Rome? What about Washington? What about, I don't know. So they had come together and they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Don't you just want to say, poor Jesus? He just spent 40 days talking to them about kingdom. The kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of this world. Not the circumstances that was on the, you know, scrolls back then. The announcers of bad news. No. He's like, oh, the kingdom I've been talking to you about, it's an upside down kingdom. It's upside down. We have to understand this in our spirit. If we don't go down, we're not going to go up. If we don't forget that the most important things are the most important things, if we ever get refocused on the things that are not necessary, we will be unable to focus on the things that are vital. That was a good word right there. Notes should be taken. God knew that their hearts had to be molded into being servants of all, not demanding their own way. He wanted them to walk around doing what he did. Father, where do you want me to go? Father, what do you want me to do? Where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to speak to? How am I supposed to speak to them? What am I going to do? What, do you have a miracle for somebody today? Where is the miracle? What is it that you want me to do? You want me to wash somebody's feet? I'll wash their feet. Do you want me to go cleanse a leper? I'll do that. Do you want me to go build a tent? I'll do that. Do you want me to go into the temple and worship you? Because I'm more than willing to do that. Oh, how many days? Okay. Jesus knew they could not do this with their own strength or in their own mind or demanding their own way. The reality was the kingdom of God was going to manifest itself through them, but not by changing the government rule of Rome, but by them being ruled by a different government. His answer to them is, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. He's basically saying, that is up to Dad. Whatever happens in this world, whatever happens with Rome, that's up to Dad. We're not here to change governments, except for the kingdom of God. This is what you need to focus on. Eternal things. Eternal things. Eternal things. You are called to do as you operate in my kingdom. And you can't do it right until you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And so he said, you will, next verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You will receive power, dunamis, dynamite, explosive power, power that you haven't experienced yet. Something is going to happen to you that's going to change your life forever, and you're going to need it. And then, what will you do? Oh, you'll be witnesses. Oh, what will they do? They'll be witnesses. What will they do? They'll go into every part of the known world. They will tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. They will change lives. They will offer salvation. They will baptize people in water. They will baptize them in the Spirit. They're going to speak in tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Something different was about to occur in the world that was going to shift everything so that the heaven's will was going to be seen on the earth. What does heaven look like? I don't know, but I know it has many languages and tongues. He was letting them know their assignment was so big, and it's the move of the Holy Spirit that was going to make the difference in them to be able to impact the world. And it's the Holy Ghost in us that is going to give us the power to impact the world. To impact the world. Okay. God was looking for a few people, just a few. I mean, he didn't need a lot. He just needed committed, laid down, sacrificial, not about them, only about the kingdom of God people. Where was he going to find them? Well, there was a whole lot more people that were in Jerusalem at that time. Thousands. And a lot of them started believing for the Holy Ghost. They started praying, but they left after a few days. They left because they got, you know, tired. They got distracted. they got off course. And so they left. They didn't think it was worth it all. They didn't think it was worth it all. Just like we do. just like we do. Well, God didn't move the way I thought he was going to. I'm so disappointed. I don't know if I can get past it. But what about the power of the Holy Ghost? What about the focus of what he told us to focus on? What about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? What about the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, you're hallowed. I'm hallowing your name. I'm not going to come against your name. I'm not going to argue about your name. I'm not going to tell you what you need to do for me. I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do for you, because hallowed be your name. And I'm praying for your kingdom to come, not my kingdom to come. Jesus said, I got a few people I can do that with. I want them to reform everything. He's still looking for reformers. He's still looking for those who will bring change, who will bring an improved condition to the world, that will put an end to evil by enforcing or introducing a better course of action. Not accusatory. Did you get saved because someone accused you of sinning? No. You got saved because the love of God was presented to you by someone who loved him and whose love was emanating from them. And it brought you conviction to your heart. And you said, I don't have to live like this anymore. And I don't want to live like this anymore. I surrender to God. I want you. I want you. Jesus, you did everything for me. You took my sins. Now I'm going to give you my life. He's looking for reformers that will amend what is corrupt. Amend it. His way, though. His way, though. And so I started thinking about this. So now here they are. They're told to go to the upper room, and thank God they obeyed. They went to the upper room. And as they went into the upper room, they had to stay focused. And so as they stayed focused, do you think they were asking for souls at that time? No, right? See, we think that when we got the Great Commission to go into all the world, teach, preach the gospel, and make disciples, that we have to come up with some formula in order to get souls saved. And so we think that's what we're there in the upper room going, oh, give me souls, go me. No. It's really not what they were doing. What they were doing is saying, I'm getting out of the way. I know what needs to happen first. We need to come together as one. We are going to pray, and we're going to stay here as long as it takes until we come together for the focus you told us to focus on, and that is the promise of the Holy Ghost. But we get tired. We don't want to have all-night prayer meetings. Go to all-night prayer meetings. It's hard to stay awake in all-night prayer meetings. I mean, it's real. But if you're hungry, and if you're looking for the promise, and if you know there's something that has to change in this world, if you know the darkness is trying to take over, if you listen to what the news people are saying about Christians not being... We're lowering percentages of who's going to follow Christ. That Christianity is becoming obsolete. It will never be obsolete. Because we are those people. And as long as we have a voice, and as long as we keep seeking the Spirit, we are going to be the difference that will usher in the next move of the Spirit of God that will change this world again, so that more people will get into heaven before the end comes. And the end is pretty imminent. Closer than you think. There's a lot of things I could talk to you about what is happening in this world that points to Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. This is aligning. This is aligning. This is aligning. This is aligning. I don't know how much Jesus has to show up and fulfill prophecy before we understand we're living in the last days of the last days. But we are living in the last days of the last days. And how are we living in the last days of the last days is what's going to make the difference. Center focused. It's all about me. It's all about me. Or it's all about him. All about him. It's all about them. It's all about them. Because Jesus knew the secret. He knew that if they would go and they would get together and they would wait, this dynamic would happen that would teach them what would have to happen and teach us what would have to happen for us to be effective in the world, to be the disciples he called us all to be. And you know what that is? They had to pray together. They had to love each other. You know, kind of what happened here today. Just a little tidbit of it. Because we only did that for, 45 minutes. Because we're not used to doing that together like we used to. Because we've given up that. We just used to come in Liberty and throw ourselves on the floor and begin to pray and stay there for hours. We didn't care. You know why? We were hurting. We needed healed. We needed God to move, and we knew it. But now, okay, we're pretty much independent. We have some hurts, but okay, we move past it mostly. We don't need him so much anymore. Oh, but yes, we do. And Jesus knew this was your example that I'm going to set for you. And he said, you go, and I command you, you go to that upper room. And I command you to stay there until you get empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because you don't even know what's in front of you, but I do. And you're going to need him. And so they prayed. And you know, it doesn't tell us whether they ate or not. We all think they were fasting. We don't know. It didn't say they didn't have any food. It didn't say what they were doing. What it did say is that they stayed. What we do know is that they focused on what he promised. They were focused on the promise. And they weren't going to leave until the promise came. They had predetermined. Their heart was convinced. They were done with this world. They were going to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit no matter what the cost was. And then the moment came. The moment that all of heaven was waiting for. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. They're like hovering over this room. They're like, okay, what's going to happen? Oh! There it is. Complete oneness. When they came into synchronized worship of God and his will, oh, the Holy Ghost is so happy. He's like, I'm on. I'm like, okay, let me make a grand entrance. Tornado time. Tongues of fire time. They don't know what hit them. All of a sudden, out of their mouth comes different languages that they never learned. Everybody that is in Jerusalem, they are there for the feast. They are there, all of thousands. And all of them can hear those people in the upper room because they were not apologizing for the power of the Holy Ghost showing up. They were, because it was no longer them that was speaking, but the Holy Ghost speaking through them. And it brought such a noise that everybody heard them. And they came to hear what was being said. And they were like from every region. And they were going, huh, they're talking about the mighty works of God. Everybody in their own language of that were there, they were speaking the mighty works of God. Because when we speak of the goodness of the Lord, it is by the Spirit of God that he appears and proves himself. And so they came. And they were like, we don't understand that. Like, this service is weird. Like, what are these people doing? Why is she passing the mic? Why are we doing this? Why are they speaking in all those tongues? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's just because the Bible tells us to. Maybe this is how we finally get to unity. Is that I pray in the Spirit, and then I pray in the Spirit with you. And then I pray in the Spirit with you. And then I pray in the Spirit with you. And then I pray in the Spirit with you. And then you pray in the Spirit with her. And then you pray in the Spirit with him. And then we all pray in the Spirit. And that is how pure oneness begins to happen through our lives and through our heart and through our spirit until we are the power that people have been looking for. Empowered by the Spirit of God. We can't do this on our own. We're trying. We come up with formulas. We come up with all kinds of things. Well, let's go here. Let's go do that. Let's do this. Let's see what we can come up. Oh. And God is going, I gave you the blueprint. I gave you the blueprint. I gave you the blueprint. Just go back to Acts. Just go back to when I counted on these people. I counted on these people. I counted on this 120 people that will stay in one. They will stay until the Holy Spirit comes. They will pray. They will seek. They will worship. They will. They are determined and convinced. They are not quiet quitters. Some of them were quiet quitters. I'm sure they left the room pretty quiet when they left the room. But these ones were going to be in the room when it happened. They had predetermined that everything that Jesus had told them was going to happen. And that they are going to wait for the happening, even though they didn't know what it looked like, even though they didn't know what it would cost them. They said it was willing, that it was worth it because Jesus told them to do it. They've been doing what Jesus told them to do all along. That's why they positioned themselves properly. They were in obedience to him along the way. And so Jesus had demonstrated to them what it kind of looked like, but they had to refocus. Remember when he sent out the 90 and then they came back and they're so 70 and then he came back and he was telling them, we did this and we cast out demons and we healed this and we were able to do this. And Jesus goes, yeah, but I saw Satan fall like lightning. Because he's like, okay, that's great. I'm so glad. You're going to do a lot more of that, actually. But your focus has to be on eternal things. Your focus has to be on the things of eternity. You have to refocus. And you know what that focus is? Your name is written down in the book of life. And he's telling them their name needs to be too. Their name, those around you, those that are going to hell, those that are on their way to eternity, you are going to be empowered to be witnesses. Hallelujah. Not because of some kind of thing you figured out, but because you are so full of the Holy Ghost and power, you can't keep it to yourself anymore. You are so filled up with the knowledge of him that you want to tell somebody the revelation you got last night or this morning or a minute before or on the spot. I know what the Lord is saying. I know what the Lord is doing. I know what he's trying to do. Would you like to come along? We are people that have access to the Holy Ghost, and we're walking around as though we're beggars, and we're not able to do these things. But it's a great opportune time for us to receive. It says in Acts 1, verse 14, these with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. These with one mind. How did they get one mind? Well, you don't get one mind by saying you have one mind. You get one mind by continually devoting yourself to prayer along with the women, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with his brothers. And they're not alone. It's all of them. And there were other believers, other hungry hearts that had joined them to position themselves for the promise. It's an opportune time to receive. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were unanimous with one mind. Unanimous with one mind. True unity will only happen when we are joining with others with a laser point focus on God's desires that take over your own desires and your own opinions and everything else. Nothing will matter except for God's will being done on earth. I believe we're on our way. I believe it. But I know what Satan does. I know that we're still in a war. I know that it's so easy to become a quiet quitter. It's so easy to fall into that. We become quiet quitters, not on purpose, but, you know, people persecute you if you don't agree with them. Now they, what do? They cancel you. What? I don't want to be canceled. I don't care if I'm canceled. Jesus is never canceling me. He said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. !! Until eternity. You should just look in the mirror and go, I can't be canceled. If I know Jesus, I can't be canceled. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. I don't care if they call me radical or extreme. I want to be radical and extreme for the right reason. And so we can, you know, act like Christians. We come to church and then we become quiet quitters because, you know, because somebody asked to take up the offering and they're asking for money. What? They want my money. Quietly quitting. Yeah. Oh, they might take away your 501c3. You won't get your tax credit for giving your tithe. How many quiet quitters do you think will happen then? You know, quiet quitters. Satan bombards you with things in your life that you don't understand. You don't understand why it takes so long for something, for your healing, for whatever you're believing for. And so you quietly just quit on God. We just say, I guess he's not true to his word. You may not say it, but you quit believing, and that's what you're saying. These poor disciples, they had no idea what they're getting into. But you know what? They didn't care. Because they had given up everything, and they had remembered what Jesus said. He said to them, all authority in heaven has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go. You go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey like I expected you to obey and commanded you to receive the Holy Ghost so that you could be the powerful reformers that you need to be, because I'm going to be with you every step of the way, even to the end of the age. Now that's the word, is right. So they're desperate and they have to take the opportune time and they have to reevaluate how much this is going to cost them and they have to decide, I don't care. Now, all along the way, do you think they could have quit? I mean, did anybody ever read all the stuff that Paul went through? I mean, he lists them out. You know, I was shipwrecked, I was beaten. They beat his feet. I just think that sounds horrible. They beat his feet. he got beat up all the time. They tried to kill him all the time. I mean, this was a man that was in trouble all the time. And yet he said, oh, it's not I that live, but he that lives within me. He was focused on the right thing. He was aware of the spirit in him. He knew the transformation that took place in his life needed to be able to have a transformation ability for someone else's life. And he walked around with a commission on his life and a decision that he had made that he was going to do the right thing no matter what the cost, until he finally just said, you know what? It's better for me to die because I know I'm going to be with God. But I'll stay because somebody needs to hear what I have. Somebody needs to feel the power that I have pumping on the inside of me. Somebody needs to be transformed. And I'm willing to keep on keeping on until he calls my name, because I've been called for a purpose. And somebody is the purpose. And somebody is your purpose. Somebody needs the thriving of the Holy Spirit, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment of the Spirit that comes along to show you what's going on and how things are supposed to go and who you're supposed to pray for it, and to release the power that is needed to be the reformers of this age, because this age needs to be reformed by the power of the Holy Ghost, because we have stayed in position and cried out to God until he comes and he fills us up with the power that we can't even understand. Until the wind of the Spirit blows again upon the people of God. Until we don't care if somebody is shikamoshing and dancing around the room, or somebody is laughing, or somebody is being slain in the Spirit, which means you cannot stand under the power of God, because the power of God has overwhelmed your body and you are happy to be blissfully aware of what God is doing instead of what you were doing a minute ago. Heaven is a wonderful place, and we can experience most of it on earth. When it comes time for us to leave this earth, going to heaven should not be that big a deal, because we've already been in communion with them. We've already visited them in the spirit realm. We have the third person of the Trinity living on the inside of us, abiding with us, telling us what to do, guiding us, comforting us, teaching us, bringing a revelator of who Jesus is. This is how we were made to be vessels of honor. This crazy body just needs to rely on him. Our mind just needs to get out of the way. We just need to be laser focused on the promise. You promised greater things. You promised we could be disciples. You promised an influence. What do you think happened that day? All of a sudden, the Peter that was, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, you didn't figure that out on your own. No man told you what that was. You received that by revelation of the Holy Ghost. And so he had already experienced what it was like to be transformed out of the way the world thinks into the way that heaven thinks. He already spoke it out of his mouth, something that he didn't know the minute before. He knew in that moment, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And now the Holy Spirit has come. Woo, it has freaked everybody completely out. And then Peter goes, oh, wait. Something just happened. Oh, I know what this is. I know what this is. This is that the prophet Joel spoke about, that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, and your sons and the daughters would prophesy. And all of a sudden, he's got the same anointing that he had when he knew he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he begins to proclaim it. And then he starts reading them what they were doing wrong. Oh, he wasn't afraid that they were going to reject it. He was giving them opportunity. There were thousands and upon thousands there. Yes. They were there for the feast. They were there. They were all heard. But you know, there was only 3,000 that were saved that day. Yes. Only 3,000 that were saved that day. Because the power of God showed up, and they still had a choice whether they were going to receive it or whether they were going to reject it. But thank you, Jesus, 3,000 were born that day into the new body of Christ. The church was born through 120 people that were committed to staying focused on the Holy Ghost until unity came. And when unity came, he came. And it's going to happen again. I don't know how many will be in the room when it happens. I can't predict how many people will be in the room when it happens. I don't know how many people will be in this room when it happens. But I'm going to be in the room when it happens. I am never giving up on the call of God on our life and what he said about Liberty Life Center. We are Isaiah 61. We have a commission by God. We have a vision that he wrote. We have a mission statement that he wrote. But you know what it's going to take? People who are totally committed to come into unity with him as the purpose. The end result is eternity. Oh, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And my name and their name is going to be written down in glory because of my obedience. I'm not a quiet quitter. I've never been a quitter, and I've never been so quiet either. Although there has been times when it has been optional, when it has been tempting. Thank God for Jack Hayford. He said, you can always want to quit as long as you never do. I said, okay, well, today I want to quit, but I'm sure by tonight I won't. Because we don't quit. We are those that have been birthed and formed and brought together for such a time as this so that we can be those people that people wonder about. You know, everybody wants miracles, don't we? We want miracles. Oh, of course we do. But you know what a sign is? A sign is when she should have quit. Look at how many times, look at what he should have quit. Do you know how much stuff had come against her? Man, everybody else would have quit. Except for, you don't quit if you're with him because he never quit. The Holy Ghost never quits. Well, guess what? That's a sign to other people. Somebody is worth living for. Somebody is worth not quitting on. There is a person in my life that deserves the honor and the glory and my life laid down. I'm never going to quit on him. I'm never going to quit on him. Well, that's a sign. And you know what makes them wonder? Everything that happens after that. Everything that happens after that. You can't explain the move of the Spirit. You can't explain what he does. You can't explain how he's going to do it. You can't even foresee what he's going to do. All we know is that he acts up all the time in the Bible. He does things in unusual ways. I mean, one way he'll do is laying on of hands, and then the next thing you know, he's using a handkerchief. And the next thing you know, somebody's just walking down the street and his shadow is healing people. Well, how do you figure that out? We figure it out because the Holy Ghost is doing it all. He'll use your hand, but he doesn't have to use your hand. But you have to be willing for him to use your hand. And you have to keep the glory going back to him. And when you do, you get to the point that you can be walking down the street and your shadow can heal somebody. And they'll go, hey, you, I don't know what just happened, but when you walked by, I felt something and I got healed. Really? Well, because that's normal. Well, let me explain to you what just happened. Let me introduce you to the author of that. His name is Jesus. He is the one that is continually doing that and will continue to do that until he comes back for his own. Now you just have to know that you are one of his own and this is how you do it. Let me introduce you to him. He's forgiven you of all your sins. You just have to accept that and move on. Let me pray with you. Come on now. This is the church of the living God. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. It's all written down. We just don't read it enough. We don't apply it enough. We don't hide it in our hearts so that he can come out and make a declaration like that with power backing it. We can't do it anyway. We can't do a thing without the Holy Ghost, but we don't have to do a thing without the Holy Ghost. He's alive. He's alive. We have to get back to the things that have eternal value. Everything else is just, I don't know what, dirt. I'll just call it dirt. I could use a lot of words, but I'll just call it dirt. Invaluable sifting sand. Nothing. Well, look how much money I made. Who cares? What'd you do with your money? What'd you do with that money that you made? How many lives were changed by that? You know, we could go on to, you know, the end of chapter 2 and go into chapter 3 of Acts, and we'll find out what happened. I'm just saying the things that used to matter don't matter anymore because all of it belongs to God. I don't want to pay my tithes. Well, it's not even yours. Hello? 10% belongs to God. You're cheating him if you don't give him 10%. If you give him more, that's great. That's when the windows open up and you get more of a blessing pouring out on you. But you shouldn't even question the 10. It belongs to him. It's what he has to use to bless you with. He's going to multiply it back to you. He multiplies things. He's not a taker. God is a giver. And not only is he a giver, he's a multiplier. Amen. He gave us the ability to walk in the things of the kingdom here on earth. He gave us a heart that could be molded and changed. He gave us the ability to surrender ourselves before him. All he asks is that you allow him to transform you. That's all he wants. For the better. He's not taking stuff from you. He's transforming you. He's going to give you a better life than you ever imagined. He's going to give you opportunities that you never thought. What are you doing there? Well, you're here for a purpose. And that purpose is what makes you happy. And if you're not doing the purposes of the kingdom on earth, that's why you're so agitated all the time. You angry little at everything. Disturbed about. Because we lost our focus. We're not laser focused on what he said. Oh my God, the kingdom is so good. The power of the Holy Spirit is so real. My life is so full. I have so much joy because he is at the helm of my life. And so this is an opportune time. An opportune time, and God is going to bring it to a remnant of people, I suppose, because that's what he usually does. He brings it to a remnant, but then the remnant that obeys makes a multitude. Because they're not going to quit. They're going to keep going and they're going to insist upon being in the presence of Almighty God. Now, you know, the opportunity was here this morning to just, you know, settle down, go into the next thing we're used to. We could do it. Because that's what people, you know, that's our way. But that's the better way. Because there's a better way. And the better way is to follow the Spirit. The better way is obedience to him. If he wants to be here all day with people worshiping and laying on the floor, then we should be okay with that. But we're not yet. We're not quite there yet. Well, I'm afraid to bring people here because I never know what you're going to do, Pastor Don. Neither do I. Welcome to my world. Okay? What do I know? I'm with him. And I won't apologize for it either. Because you know what? People are looking for something that sticks. They're looking for power. They're looking for transformation. They may not know it, and they may run out the first time, but they'll never forget it if they encounter God's Spirit. They'll never forget the power that was in the house. They'll never forget the love cloud that just drips on everybody's heart. They'll never be able to forget it. Who knows? Maybe they go down the road to some other church and they give their heart to God. All I know is we're going after the Spirit. Well, what is your dream for the next 5 years? Let's go after the Spirit and be the reformers that we need to be. Here's my plan. The Spirit. Us being one in the Spirit. Us glorifying God with the Spirit. Disciples being raised up, training going on to help them to be just like him. Yeah. With a sold out 100% to God. Not holding on to things of the flesh because they are not worth it. He is worth our life. He is worth our love. He is worth our affection. He is worth our attention. He is the one thing that will never cease, and his love will remain forever. Somebody needs to know you. Somebody needs to know you. Because inside of you is the power of his love. Inside of you, if you know him, is the power of his love. If you don't know the power of his love, you just need to ask him to come in. So we're just going to do that. I'm going to talk to the camera because who knows. So for everyone here and everybody watching, I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus is the truth and the way, and there is no other way. The Bible says so. Either we believe this, I'm not going to do it, but I want to tear out a page to show you that we have to, well, I'll do it. Either we believe it all or we don't. So which one of these pages should we rip out for you? The ones you don't like to hear? The ones you refuse to do? The ones you don't want to align with? How do we revise this? Are we the revisers of the Word of God? Or are we the reformers with the Word of God in our mouth? We have a choice to make right now. Janice said it today, I think. Well, I don't know. Everybody was saying it. Today's the choice. Today's there's a choice for the one. You people and you people. There's a choice to be Jesus. So for those who want to follow him, there's a clarion call to be in one with him and one with each other. We are not going to be the difference that we need to be if we try to be individual. We have to be a unit. And so, Father, I come before you today and I ask that you forgive me and forgive the body of Christ and forgive those who know not what they do by ignoring you, by demanding their own way, by staying away instead of showing up, by refusing to become involved in what you have for them to do, by making excuses as though that would be acceptable to you, for not keeping you as the focus of our life, for not being disciples and for not making disciples, I ask you to forgive. For not making your word number one. For not hiding your word in our heart. For not spending time in prayer until we reach that point where we know it's no longer us that's praying, but it's the Spirit praying through us. Lord, I repent for not having a voice that is loud enough to reach the lost in the dark. For not being the light when we're supposed to be. Oh Lord, I repent for laying down our story and not telling the truth. Revision, because it accommodates our life. Lord, I ask for you to realign us today. I ask for forgiveness for all of these things. I ask for you to wash us. You said, if we confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we ask for the cleansing to happen today. Lord, that we would be willing to just receive your forgiveness, Lord. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to beat ourselves up. We just have to recognize we need to change. So we change on purpose today. We take the opportunity you offered us. Come into our heart, Lord. Forgive us of all of these sins that have kept us compromised. Reinstate us. Reinstate us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Let us refocus, God. Let us refocus on things that have eternal value. And Lord, we lay everything else down at your feet today. Just take it. Make it effortless, Lord. Just make it effortless. And Lord, I pray that you keep calling us to yourself. You keep calling us until we answer. And when we call upon you, you always say, "Here I am." Heal our hearts today of even wrongs that have been done. Heal our hearts of past memories. Even our past mistakes that we have done, and we own our mistakes. Lord, we're not trying to make excuses for them. Lord, we don't want to stay in this place the same way. We just can't. We just know we can't. We want to be light in the darkness. We want to obey you. We want to be with you more than we want to breathe another breath. Lord, we thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. And when we acknowledge you, we are praising you. We are praising you for who you are. We are asking for eternal value to be our value. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for a new day, a new time, a new beginning. A new end to the old things and a brand new day to move forward. And Lord, make us one as you are one, the very thing you prayed before you went to the cross. Let us experience it, God. Let us be passionate, hungry, refusing to stop people. Loud for you. Loud. Living our lives loud for you. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit, takes a little minute for him to highlight some things for you. And that can continue after you leave this building. This is not just about one moment of time. This is about your life laid down for him. This is about the ability that we have to come to him every minute of every day. He's always listening. He's always willing to forgive us. He's always willing to put us back on track. He's a loving, 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 loving Father. And so I pray that this has positioned you properly to put yourself in order with the Holy Ghost. And that when you come to church, you come to church to join him. And when you're together with other people, that you're joining him at the table or at the home or on the phone or wherever you are, at school or at your workplace. Join him. Let him become your laser focus, and he will change your world. We're going to be reformers, not conformers. Reformers. It's a big, big word for big people with a big God. Okay, well, I'm going to say, now, the announcements, offering. Oh, offering and announcements. Do we see? And the God of heaven thundered. It actually says that in the Word of God, too. I ain't making that up. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. That was the exclamation point.